Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins.
What?
All right. Well, today we have a question that was submitted by a Plus member. Now, this question that was submitted by a Plus member, we answered right away. The team answered right away that week that it was submitted in. But because it was such a good question, we wanted to actually share it on the podcast and share it with all of you. It's funny, Todd, being up in Canada, people don't say y'all much. And every time Christina and I say y'all, people laugh. And a couple days ago in one of my meetings, I was like, all y'all. I was like, no, what do all y'all think about this? And they were like, did you just say all y'all?
Did he just say all y'all, eh?
All y'all, eh? So this question, yes, it is a office hour question that a Plus member submitted. So they did get an answer right away, but we did want to read it out to you and answer it on the podcast for everyone because it was so interesting in the realm of multi-site. So here it is. Hello, I'm a new Plus member of newchurches.com. We are in the middle of a vision to plant 10 campuses in 10 years in Northeast Ohio. These campuses need a campus pastor that teaches each week. Our leadership pipeline is getting dry, and we are looking to hire outside, but we're finding it difficult to find men from seminaries and search organizations. So what suggestions do you have, right? I mean, they have a bold vision. What suggestions do you have for finding campus pastors outside of your own leadership pipeline?
Don't do it.
All right. Okay. Ready for the next question?
Well, it's just so hard because culture fit and passion fit are just the beginning. So culture fit and passion fit. So first of all, culture fit, I mean, especially if your church has been around for a while, there is a very unique culture there. There's shared history, there's shared story, but most of all, there's shared values and behavior that somebody needs to fall in alignment with. Everybody is going to bring something with them. So unless you distinctively want to change something in your culture, don't hire from the outside. If there's something that you strategically want to change, that's a great way to do it. But otherwise, I would say, man, do whatever you can to promote from within. I'd rather have a guy who understands everything and is culturally has a good culture fit than somebody who might be on paper a little bit better, but you know, is coming from the outside. The passion fit piece is important too, because of obviously the energy that is required for a new campus, and if they're not their passion is in alignment with what the vision and values are, but also the passion of planting a new campus, then it could be problems. And then there's other reasons as well, but I'll shut up and let Daniel talk for a minute.
No, this is huge, right? It's huge. And I appreciate the fact that this individual said that they need to, you know, that their leadership pipeline is getting dry. I appreciate that they've used the language leadership pipeline, because if you want to plant 10 campuses in 10 years, there is no way that you're going to be able to do that without a leadership pipeline, right? And when we talk about leadership pipeline at Lifeway Leadership, it's volunteer, leader, coach, ministry director, and senior leader. And at every single one of those levels, I mean, it's about moving people. The goal for the leadership pipeline is not movement up the pipeline, it's becoming more of who God has called you to be, right? But if you have that compelling vision that Todd was talking about, think about it like the Tasmanian devil, right? The Bugs Bunny Tasmanian devil that just stirs up all the dust and everything around it, right? If you have a compelling vision and you are moving forward movementally, right, that you're going to get people excited about this, both in your church, outside of your church. So I was recently talking to There's this organization that's been doing a lot of data and analytics and, you know, within the church and outside of the church, third party data, there's all this stuff that's been going on. And one of the recent projects that I heard from them was the percentage of people within your church who have executive leadership capacities. Right? It's way higher than you would think. So when you think about that, and when you think about the role of the campus pastor in your church, I mean, this is one of those positions where instead of looking necessarily for someone who's seminary trained, this is one of those roles that you want to say, hey, who has the vision? Who has the culture fit? Who is passionate about seeing the lost come to know Jesus? Who has that personality that can draw people in, that can welcome, that doesn't mind waking up Monday morning after a busy weekend, waking up Monday morning and getting on the phone and calling up all the newcomers, right? Who do you have that personality who wants to do that? And on Sunday, on the weekend, who will go and talk to everyone in the lobby, right? Not to be the spoke, right? Not to be the spoke in the wheel or the hub in the spoke, but actually to do that and to encourage and motivate other people. Those are the types of people that you want. Obviously rooted in character as well, but those are the types of people that you want leading your campuses.
Yeah, and I would say too, it as Daniel pointed out, it may not be somebody who is currently on your staff. So when you think pipeline, just don't think staff. When we go in, and now we've done it with over 4,000 churches, guys, where we've not churches, sorry, 4,000 leaders. I don't know how many churches, but almost every time I ask somebody to draw their org chart, they show me their staff, and I'm like, because it goes well beyond the people that are just staff. So think about people that are leaders, probably higher level leaders at your church, in your ministry that get it. They've been around a while. Don't just think about staff for your pipeline or for who might be the next campus pastor. Look at those people in your congregation as well. I would also say, you know, the thing about seminary training, it depends on your denomination or your bylaws. If you have to have somebody in a certain position that has, you know, had such training. But I would say, remember, they can always continue to do that after or as they come on board.
Yes.
So don't just count it as, oh, you know, the olden days where somebody went away to seminary for a while and then came back are... that's happening less and less. I mean, more people are doing it on the job. And I honestly think that that is more healthy. Having gone to seminary with people that didn't work at a church and were full-time students, and, you know, they just didn't have exposure. Maybe they attended church, but, you know, they were more likely to probably critique the sermon and, you know, wax eloquent on theology and Starbucks for years and years before they ever did anything in the church.
Wait, they had Starbucks when you went to seminary?
Yeah, Daniel, they did.
Okay. Hey, let's just hear a quick word from our sponsor and we'll continue on with this. Every church must be equipped to respond well in the initial stages of learning about instances of sexual, physical, or emotional abuse. That's why the Southern Baptist Convention, Lifeway, and the ERLC partnered together to create Becoming a Church That Cares Well for the Abused. This training curriculum of a handbook and 13 videos brings together top experts from various fields to help volunteers and leaders understand and implement the best practices for handling the variety of abuse scenarios at a church, school, or ministry. You can access this free training at churchcares.com. Once again, that's churchcares.com. All right, so when you think about that, right, Todd, I completely agree with you. I mean, we're totally preaching to the choir as it relates to this importance of on the job training. And honestly, when you think about your next campus, right, and you think about movement, and I'm not saying that 10 campuses in 10 years is remotely close to church planting movement energy, but hey, it's way better than what most churches think about or envision, right? I mean, this is 10. I mean, that's really exciting. That's a really exciting vision. But when you look at the church planting movement literature, one of the things that always stalls it out is the requirement of formal education, right? The requirement of formal education will always slow down your movement. Now, Todd and I have both been to seminary. We both have seminary degrees. I mean, you, Todd, have multiple seminary degrees. So we are not anti-seminary in any way. But when you think about movement, when you think about campus pastoring, you are going to be much further ahead to develop business leaders in your context. Todd, there's this church that was in one of our pipeline learning communities this last year down in Texas. And their campus pastor, who was just about to launch, he ran fitness clubs. I mean, this guy was full on business guy. And when we met him, it was incredible because no, he hadn't gone to seminary, but yes, he loved Jesus. Yes, he wanted to grow. Yes, he had this passion for Jesus, for the lost. He was already evangelizing and reaching the lost. And then as we were communicating with his church, I mean, they were like, yeah, and that's why we brought him on staff. And that's why he's our next campus pastor, because he gets the vision, he gets our heart. And yeah, we'll get him training, we'll get him supported. And that's the beautiful thing about Ministry Grid, right? Yeah, it's not formal theological education, but you get the skills you need via Ministry Grid, and then you can get the formal theological education on the way.
There's something that is so special about somebody who just really taps into that. So for instance, that guy in particular has a charisma about him and a savvy about him and a perspective that the rest of his staff don't have. I mean, it is something that adds to their vision. It's something that adds to their day-to-day ministry, just him now coming in and having that perspective, because he has the perspective of the people that actually go to church on, you know, from Sunday to Sunday, that are, you know, working during the week and all that. So he has a perspective that he brings to the table that they don't have now that they've been in full-time ministry. And so it's vitally important to have that on your team.
All right. So hopefully that helps. Okay. Let's say you do find a superstar person who you think has the ability to be a future campus pastor, and they are from the outside in another church. And let's say you're like, no, we really need to get this guy. I mean, this guy gets the vision of our church. You don't know. There's no way to know if if the individual gets the values. Right. There's no way to understand that unless you're spending time with them and they're in your environment. But let's say they theoretically agree with your vision and you think they're going to be a value fit and you do want to hire them from the outside. If so, get them on staff in a different role as an associate campus pastor and get them exposure at the campus level, at the central services level, and get them in there for at least 6 months so that you can kind of acculturate them and get them going in the culture. But if you do that, make sure you don't just stick them in a department that is anti-entrepreneurial and anti-get it done, right? Because you don't want to lose that entrepreneurial and gung-ho energy that you want your campus pastors to have. So utilize them in the right roles. But having said all that, Todd and I, we both believe that you need to hire from the inside. So, but I do know that there's that perspective too.
If you're bringing it, that's a great idea, Daniel, just to bring them in some role so that I can kind of test that. I can do everything I can to interview. I can ask for references. I can then ask those references for references, which is a cheater way that I get around that. HR, I'm so sorry. I don't do that at Lifeway, but I did do that in a former life.
I doubt the HR department at Lifeway is listening to this podcast.
Probably not.
but here's the danger, right? The danger of hiring someone to be a future campus pastor, yet you have no idea. Right? So hire them for the role that you have. And then maybe there might be conversations where you're like, no, this is what we're hiring you for. And based on your competencies, we think you have the potential to be a campus pastor, but don't promise that from the outset, because I mean, it might not just work out and you're going to have a problem on your hands 6 months or a year later. If they're like, hey, this is what you hired me for. It's not my job description. What's going on? And you're like, well, actually, we think you're better in this role.
That should never be a surprise, though. That's a leader issue. It's a leader issue. You should be able to be clear and upfront with people. Remember, guys, as a church leader, there's two examples. There's a shepherd and the steward. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have that balance when we're bringing somebody on board. And yes, we need to care for them well. We need to care for their family well, all those things. But we need to be super clear about where things are and where things are going. And we do people a great disservice and we're disrespectful of the stewardship responsibility God's given us when we don't have those conversations with people along the way. So if you bring the guy in and you think he's going to be the campus pastor and 3 months in, you figure out he's not going to be, or you should have multiple conversations before you figure out he's not going to be, and corrective conversations, that help realign.
Completely. All right. So be sure to leave a question if you haven't yet done so. We'd love to answer it. Speakpipe.com/newchurches. If you're on your mobile device, if you're on your computer, go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right. But also check out the Group Answers podcast with Chris Surratt and Brian Daniel. They're a part of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network family. And you know what? You know what topic they recently covered?
What topic?
The Enneagram and small groups. This is awesome. The Enneagram and small groups. And hey, Todd, you know what's crazy about the Enneagram? I'm looking at
many people that are obsessed with it, and it's
okay,
a mile wide and an inch deep.
You know what's crazy? So Christina and I, on our podcast, the In Between podcast, we interviewed our Enneagram coach because we got coaching on it for. We did it for 2 weeks, and it's one of our newest episodes, and it is by far the most downloaded set of episodes in like our 2 years that we've
I just want to say it's kudos crazy. To you, Daniel. Kudos to you for actually setting down some money, meeting with a coach to figure out everything about the Enneagram before you share all your wisdom about the Enneagram with everyone who will listen. So my biggest issue with the Enneagram is all the people who will, it's like a horoscope, people. It is. Unless you've had coaching, unless you know what you're talking about, people just walk around and say, you're a this, you're a that. Oh, no, you're not that. You're not a two.
You're not a Libra. You're not. Virgo.
Yes. And I'm like, oh, come on, please. You've read an article and you got your own results and now you think you can type everybody. It drives me bonkers.
If you haven't, not passionate about this.
No, not at all.
Absolutely no opinion on this.
None.
All right, that's good. Okay, but hey, Enneagram and
that's because I'm an eight, Daniel.
Group Answers podcast. That's right. Oh, you're such an eight. That's such an eight thing to do. All right. Hey, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.